Repeat after me. Somebody say, in my hand. Say, I hold the book of life. According to this book, my life is destined for greatness. With the seed of God's word, I will produce abundant fruit. And with confidence, I confess that God has a purpose and a plan for my life. In Jesus' name. Father, we've made the confession and we stand upon the truth of your word that you have a purpose and you've mapped out a plan for our lives. As we go into this teaching today, may your Holy Spirit guide and lead us into all truth and show us things, God, that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. Reveal to those that are present today a deeper understanding of their destiny and their purpose, that it may enlighten them, empower them, encourage them, as well as motivate them to fulfill their destiny. We are humbled and honored by the opportunity to hear from heaven today, and we ask your blessing upon your word. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you got your Bibles, if you would go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. It may sound redundant to you for me to repeat again what our theme and vision is for this year of 2021. But I feel it's important to remind us that this is the path and this is the journey that God has taken us on. And that is because God is interested, very much so I can say, in you fulfilling your purpose and your destiny. And so our vision, our theme for this year has been where destiny meets your purpose. Where destiny meets your purpose. All of this year, that has been our focus. To make sure that we are sharing from the Word of God wisdom, knowledge, and at times revelation that inspires us to make sure that our destiny meets up with our purpose. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the manifest destinies and purpose. Manifest destinies and purpose. As I was studying last night, it was, how can I say, they call, when people write, they call it writer's block, where you're writing something and you sort of get blocked and you don't have any more information and where to go and what to do. And that sort of came upon me. And when that happens to me, I recognize that there are times I have to just push away, if you would, from the desk, walk away, and just allow the Holy Spirit some space and time to just kind of feed me some more. And I needed to do that last night because all month and all year long we've been talking about destiny and we've been talking about purpose, and you would say, what else is there to teach and what else is there to say if it hasn't already been said? But as I continue to wait upon the Lord, I felt this is what the Spirit of God wanted us to receive today. Can you say amen? Amen. Manifest destiny and purpose. I want to go back and I want to share a little bit more about destiny. And I want to focus on a few aspects that will hopefully drive us even more to the finish line, to our destiny. And why do I say that? Because sometimes you can be overwhelmed with information. Sometimes information can make some people complacent. In other words, I've heard that before. And I don't want you to miss an opportunity where it may be your season or it may be the timing where God wants you to receive something that will help get you to the next level of your life. And I don't want you to make the mistake of taking all of what you've heard and do nothing with it. And so every time I share, or every opportunity where you hear the voice of God, it should be like the first time. Can you say amen? Because you do not want to miss what God is saying. So there may be some things, I'm certain, that I will say that is familiar to what I've been saying, and it may come off as being redundant or repeated. But I want you to see it as if God is speaking to you the first time. Amen, somebody. There are three ways that we can describe a person with a manifest destiny and purpose. Three ways. Note them down. Number one is their unique calling. Their unique calling. We know the scripture tells us that many are called, but only a few are up to the task, or we can say chosen. I can look out into the crowd and believe that each and every one of you sitting here has a calling on your life. I may not be able to directly identify with what it is, but I can tell you, you have been called to do something. Hello, somebody. It may not be where I'm standing behind a podium on a stage. It may be some other gift or the skill that you may have, something else that you're very good at. Maybe it's building something. Maybe it's inventing something. Maybe it's just the gift of communication. I don't know what it is, but you have a calling on your life. So one of these things or descriptions of a person with a manifest destiny is their unique calling. Now, I did ask you to get Matthew 28. Hold that. Can you go with me to 1 Peter? Let's go to 1 Peter. Hold Matthew chapter 28 and go with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2.
First Peter chapter 2.
Verse 9. The scripture here says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. These descriptions in itself speaks of a uniqueness of a person or people's character. It says a chosen generation. There are generations that are specifically chosen to do certain things, certain eras of time to affect the future. There are also generations who miss God, falling short of what they've been chosen to do. Certainly, if you know the history of the Israelites, they fell into that situation where God had chosen them, took them up out of Egypt, gave them an assignment, a destiny, and a purpose, but because of their mindset, they failed to fulfill their destiny, and generations suffered from that. So the writer said, but you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and you are a peculiar people. The rest of the verse goes on to say, why? That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I can certainly say that this verse applies to each and every one of you. Because at one stage or one point of your life, if I were just to speak about me, but I know I can speak for you, we were in darkness. We were blind. We were lost. And God took us out of darkness. He opened up our eyes when we could not see. He found us when we were lost, and he assigned us. He gave us a calling. He says, this uniqueness that is on your life is given to you to show forth the praises of God. It is part of your manifest destiny and purpose. Here's the second one, and that is mission and assignment. Somebody say, I have a mission,
and
assignment. So the first way to describe a person with a manifest destiny is their unique calling. The second is their mission, or we can say assignment. Let's now go back to Matthew chapter 28. Everyone, Matthew chapter 28. Starting at verse 18. And Jesus came and he spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He speaks directly now to his followers. He says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't stop there. He gives them more instructions. Verse 20, teach them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you, this is your assignment, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The description of a person with a manifest destiny and purpose is what they've been assigned to do. Can I ask you a question? Don't answer, just listen. What's your assignment? What mission do you believe God has put you on? What assignment has God given you? As a person who has a manifest destiny and purpose, you have to be aware of what God has assigned you to do. Jesus made it so plain to those that followed him, his disciples. He says, go. I've assigned you to do something. Don't watch, don't observe, don't sit by, don't even point, but go. And he says, teach all nations. Do the assignment that I've given you. That would mean that whatever assignment that God has given you, this leads us into our next one, it is because you have divine authority to do it. Let me explain. So the second thing is the mission and the assignment. We're talking about the description of a person with a manifest destiny and purpose. There will always be a unique calling there. They will always have a mission, or we can say assignment. But the third thing is the divine authority given to them. This authority does not make them superior. If you believe that God has divinely given you authority to do certain things, don't put yourself on a pedestal. Are you listening to me? Don't make yourself out to be better than somebody else. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen people who are well educated, who have a gift, man, like no other. They can articulate the word, expound upon the word, teach the word, prophesy the word. I've seen singers be gifted divinely by God, but somehow they get the big head. They get an attitude of superiority. And I'm better than you because of what I have. No. This divine authority doesn't make you superior to others, but rather, listen to me, it enforces or reinforces your ability to achieve and to fulfill what God has called you to do. Do you understand that? It reinforces your ability. In other words, it is a reminder to you that the devil cannot stop you. Did y'all get what I just said? divinely given this authority by God to do this. Therefore, I shall fear no man on what he shall say or what he shall do, because God told me to do this. Anybody listening to me? And the attitude of those who you may have come across is just that way. It is not a pompous or a proudful or arrogant attitude. It's one is saying, listen, I'm not worried about you getting in my way. I'm not worried about what you say. I'm not worried about you opposing me, because I know God has divinely authorized me to do this. Hello, somebody. It is their divine authority. It's similar to what God said to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 5. He said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, he said, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet unto the nation. If God ever speak to you like that, I tell you, it changes your whole perspective about how people will try to oppose you, because you know and you are convinced, this is what I'm called to do. So knowing your assignment is important, because knowing that and having a divine authority to do that will allow for you to fulfill your destiny. Can you say amen? And so we've been talking about this journey that we've been taking together. And as much as I've been able to share, we have sought out ways to help us to cause our destiny to meet our purpose. But now allow me to take a moment to explain briefly the difference between purpose and destiny. You should know it. But again, for clarity purposes, I don't want you to miss what God is saying to you today. Purpose is the original intent or the reason for something. Another way to look at it is that purpose is the key to life. And without some knowledge of purpose, life becomes meaningless. To a child of the age of 2 who sees something like a cell phone and don't really know or understand the purpose of this phone, it is somewhat meaningless to them. You, on the other hand, listen to me, if you just so happen to walk out of the house without your phone, to you, it's worse than losing your wallet or your purse, because it has so much meaning to it. Anybody listen to what I'm saying? So purpose gives meaning. It gives meaning to life. Destiny, on the other hand, is what you are ordained to be, as well as where you ought to be in life. I'll repeat it. Destiny is you being ordained, or what you are ordained to be, as well as where to be in life. So everything, somebody say everything.
Everything.
Say it again, say everything.
Everything
in life has a purpose, but not every purpose is known. All right? Got a cough trying to come out. Everything in life has a purpose, but not every purpose is known. To discover that purpose, there will always be 3 fundamental truths that need to be the foundation of the understanding of that. 3 fundamental truths that serves as the foundation. I'm going to give it to you, and we're going to end it here. Write this down. Number 1, foundational truth. And that is, only the creator, designer, or you can say manufacturer, holds the key to purpose. I'll repeat it. Only the creator, the one who designs something, or the one who manufactures something holds the key to its purpose. Only the manufacturer. So, to be fully certain as to what something's purpose is, you have to return to its origin. That makes sense. To be fully certain of what you have and why you have it, you must always return to its origin. Origin is the concept of first, meaning the first thought and the first idea from the beginning. I'll repeat that. Origin is first. What was the first thought? What was the first idea in the very beginning? Knowing purpose will always take you back to its origin. What was first, listen to me, in the mind of the creator, of the designer, of the manufacturer? Because they hold the key to its purpose. This is a foundational truth. I live by it. Whenever there's any controversy in society, and we have a lot of it, where people are trying to create their own purpose for something, or trying to get you to embrace the purpose for something that you know is not the purpose, I always go back to what was intended. Are you listening to me? That makes sense. My argument is always what was intended. You see, it's not what I think. It's not really what I believe. It is what was in the mind of the one who created it. Anybody understand what I'm saying? That's a foundational truth. Please add this to your notes if you're taking notes. And that is, you cannot develop a true understanding of something without knowing why it exists. You cannot. You cannot develop a true understanding of something. A child, we just mentioned, of the age of two or younger, cannot develop a true understanding of this device, this cell phone, unless they understand why it exists. Yeah, they watch you put it up to your face and to your ear and say some things, so they pick it up, they do the same thing. But if you leave it in their hands long enough and come back, you'll see it scratched up, probably got paint on it, food stains, fingerprints. And if they had it, they'll put it in water and let's see if it can float. True understanding will come when you know why. So you can observe something, watch something, even hear something, but you cannot develop a true understanding of it unless you know why it exists. Is that making sense to anybody? Number two. First of all, I need you to go to Genesis chapter 1. This will be your last scripture. Here, go to Genesis chapter 1. So number one, foundational truth, is that only the creator, designer, and manufacturer holds the key to a thing's purpose. Nobody else has the key. Everyone else is guessing, assuming, and so on. Get Genesis chapter 1. We'll get to the verses in a minute. The second one I give you here is that purpose is natural by nature. It sounds easy, a little complex, but I'll explain it. Purpose is natural by its nature. In other words, nature will always, that is the underlying word, will always reveal what is natural. And what is natural, again, is purpose. Please allow me to say that again. Nature will always reveal what is natural. When I look into nature, it gives me a better understanding of the natural flow, the natural current in which things operate, grow, and so on. So nature will always reveal what is natural, and what is natural is purpose. God reveals on purpose, listen to me, He reveals on purpose through nature why things exist. It's not going over your head, is it? God reveals on purpose. He reveals on purpose through nature why things exist. Well, we should know this. Genesis confirms it and reveals it to us in Genesis chapter 1. If you got it, can you say amen? Come on, say amen again. Let's look at verse 26. It's just going to confirm what I just said. And God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and over the birds and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps or crawls upon the earth." Verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and after, in the image of God created he him, male and female he created them. Verse 28, he blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish, over the birds, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Everything here God reveals is intentional, and it is purposeful. Okay, I'm going to read some more, but let me restate again. God reveals on purpose. God reveals on purpose through nature why things exist. Next verse, 29. And God said, behold, I give unto you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and every bird of the air, and everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Last verse. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good, in the evening, in the morning, or the sixth day. So God, not only did he create man with a purpose, he began to reveal to man what he needed to do, and everything God says that I've created, look at nature, because it reveals the purpose for life. Does that make sense to anybody? Everything God said I've created has a seed within itself, which gives it the ability to create life. Everything. And if you watch nature, I reveal on purpose through nature why life exists. Anybody listen to what Pastor is saying? If God did not purpose you to be on the earth, there would be no need to have birds. There would be no need to have fish. There would be no need to have herbs, because he says, all of these things I have given to you. Are you listening to me? In other words, you were not made for the world. You were not made for creation, but rather creation was made for you. And you were created and made for God. God purposely reveals through nature why things exist. And so the second one is purpose is natural by nature. It's natural by nature. Last one I give you, we can close here. And that is, purpose cannot be altered or changed, only fulfilled. Repeat after me. Say, purpose cannot be altered, cannot be changed, only fulfilled. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say this before. You can take a pig, put makeup on it. You can put pearls around his neck. You can put a nice little pig dress on it. But as soon as you open the back door, no matter how much alteration you try to do to it, by nature, it's headed for the mud. It's headed for the slop.
Come on. Because purpose cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It can only be fulfilled. And most of you here today, your life is frustrated, or you are frustrated with life because there's been some alteration going on. You've been trying to do things you've not been purposed to do. Or you've been avoiding your destiny altogether. There's only one thing that's going to bring you peace. And that's fulfilling your purpose. Causing your destiny to meet your purpose. And that's why God has called you. And I believe that's why you're here today. I want to ask you to close your books, close your Bibles. If you would, please stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to let you go. While you're standing, repeat after me. Say, I have a manifested destiny and purpose. Manifested destiny and purpose. You have a destiny and you have a purpose. And God wants you to fulfill it. God wants you to understand that you are unique. He wants you to understand that you have a mission, you have an assignment. But also, just as important, you have been divinely authorized by God to do what you've been destined and called to do. So don't fret. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what men and other people will say to you. Don't let your failures, your mistakes stop you. You've been divinely authorized by God to get to where you need to be in life. So don't give up. Don't look at your weaknesses and your flaws. Don't count yourself out. Don't throw in the towel. Yes, you're going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. But don't allow it to detour your life. God has divinely authorized you to be at a certain place and to become what He has called you to be. You got to believe it. That is your manifested destiny and purpose. That is your manifested destiny and purpose to become all that you can be, to fulfill everything that God has planned out for your life. He's waiting on you. And so I hope what has been shared today and what has been shared over these past several weeks and months has inspired you, has reinvigorated you, has encouraged you, has motivated you, has caused you to go back and say, I'm going to take off the shelf what I put on the shelf that I've given up on. I'm going to revisit what God told me to do. You have a calling in your life. You are a unique individual. And God is not through with you yet. Can somebody say amen? If you would, I want to pray. I want to pray with you, but I want to pray for you as well. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands. Whatever's on your heart right now, I don't know what you're dealing with or going through. Maybe you just needed a little motivation today, a little bit of encouragement. Or an answer to a prayer or some guidance. I'm going to pray that as you open up your heart and your mind, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you what you need. That you do not come here and walk out the same way you came, but you will walk out of here more hopeful, more inspired, more driven, more determined than ever before. Because you recognize and you also accept that God has a destiny and a purpose for my life. And it's about time that I get to work so that I can fulfill it. Father, we are grateful as always to be in your presence and to hear your Spirit speak to our hearts. And Lord, we know that nothing that you do or say is ever in vain. You don't waste your words. You don't waste your time. And so, because we are here, and it's all because of you, it's divine. You have something for us to do. And I pray that no one today will allow this word to fall upon deaf ears. But he that has an ear to hear will hear it, and they will run with it. And they will take this word and add it to their lives to bring about the things that you have destined for them. Whatever needs that are happening, Lord, or whatever needs there are in this place, I ask you to meet that need. Whether it be emotional need, spiritual need, material need, you know what your people need, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that that need be met, that before they walk out of this sanctuary, they will walk out of here with peace, knowing that it's going to be okay. That my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I don't worry anymore. And for those, Lord, that are, I don't know, maybe a little bit uncertain, maybe a little bit slowful in doing what they know they've been called to do, I pray that today you will release them from procrastination and you will give them the motivation that they need to step out in faith. And as they step out in faith, God, the doors will begin to open. And they will take on their role and their assignment, and they will do it fearlessly, with boldness, not concerned about what others will say or do, because they have been divinely given authority to do this. I bless them right now. And Lord, may you strengthen them in their endeavors. May you supply them, Lord, and connect them to those who they need to be connected to. Bring the resources to their lives. Cover them and keep them as well. Bless every family that is here today, God. And he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name. If you receive the word, can you say amen? Come on, one more time, say amen. Clap your hands.